Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin. Joining me is Dr. Gareth Price, an India expert with London's Chatham House think tank. Dr. Price, India's parliament just ratified an amendment that will allow it to fast-track citizenship for religious minorities from Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Bangladesh. Why the legislation and why now?
This stems from what was happening in Assam in northeast India, where a long-standing demand has been to expel what's called illegal immigrants, which is anyone who arrived in India after 1971 or can't prove the documentation that they arrived earlier. So under this, initially 4 million and subsequently 2 million people have been declared potentially stateless. Of those, quite a large number turn out to be non-Muslims. I think the assumption had been that they would mostly be Muslim immigrants. It turns out that there were quite a lot of Hindus. And so India has now passed a citizenship law allowing for Hindu communities, Hindus who've moved in from Bangladesh, to be declared Indian citizens.
My understanding has been that it goes beyond Hindus, that it includes Sikhs, Buddhists, Christians, Zoroastrians.
Yeah, I mean, the largest number are Hindus, but it does specify other religious minorities, which it claims risk persecution in, as you say, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Bangladesh.
The why and the now, more or less, has to do with many stateless people that the government wants to take care of?
When this National Register of Citizens survey was conducted in Assam, I think the presumption was very much that it would mostly be Muslims from Bangladesh who couldn't prove their status. But when it turned out that, in fact, a large proportion, no one's quite clear of the exact numbers, but it turned out that quite a lot of them are Hindus. As its mantra, I mean, that this is a Hindu nationalist government, and so the idea of expelling Hindus to Muslim-majority Bangladesh is anathema to them. And so, yeah, Hindus and other religious minorities in Bangladesh can be granted Indian citizenship.
You are listening to Dr. Gareth Price, an India expert with London's Chatham House think tank. Dr. Price, the legislation has brought anger in the street and also around the world, and the anger is growing over this amendment. Why is that?
I think there's two levels to the anger against the bill. Now, in Assam had a kind of insurgency in the late 70s, which was ended with the Assam Accord in 1985, under which this survey of illegal migrants was to be conducted. And it was postponed by several governments, presumably in the knowledge that it would stir up a hornet's nest. Now, the point of the Assamese protest, the Assamese insurgency back in the day, was that they wanted all the illegal migrants removed. They weren't biased on religious lines. And so their anger is towards Bengali Hindus from Bangladesh who might be allowed to stay, and the fear that this legislation will allow many more Bengali Hindus to move in from Bangladesh and be granted citizenship in Assam in particular. And so that's why you've seen violence there. The broader violence against the bill is on secular lines. I mean, India's constitution declares it to be secular, and this bill could be seen as being biased on religious lines. Now, the Indian government would say, no, we're being positive towards, you know, non-Indians that happen to be Hindu. But I don't think you have to be, completely cynical to sort of suggest that a reading of this bill is that it is very much anti-Muslim. And India's got a population of, you know, coming up to 200 million Muslims. It's a country where people do struggle to find their documentation. And so fears that the bill could be misused against Indian Muslims are widespread.
Would you say that with India, I have heard Prime Minister Modi in the past priding himself on the fact that there is a separation of religion and state in India, that this could be the beginning of a slippery slope in terms of that separation?
Well, I think in the first term, I mean, you saw quite a lot of policies that were introduced, you know, such as a crackdown on people involved in the cow trade. And a lot of these policies could be conceived of as very anti-Muslim. They certainly sort of engaged many of the sort of hardline Hindu supporters of the current government. And you've seen that trend continuing and being expedited in the second term, with the decision to remove the special status of Kashmir. And then very likely down the line, the removal of the the Muslim personal code, so that different religious communities in India have different personal laws depending on their religion. And getting rid of that may well be one of the next actions by the government.
Dr. Gareth Price, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin.